Must be allergic to church. My nose hasn't dripped in 2 days, and I walk in here, and I just wanted you to know that. I think I commented at the Mass last evening at 4 that I've got about 4 homilies in my head, but I promise to not give more than 3 of them. But if you don't mind, I'd kind of like to do a little precursor here. And you are witnesses of these things. That was the last verse of the gospel. Do you hear that in any personal way? Because if you and I don't hear those words and take them as our own, we're not quite living up to the call of the gospel. You and I are witnesses of the very things of Jesus, his dying and his rising. I commented, I think last week, and I said, have you ever raised anybody from the dead? And I'm kind of like, what? And what was the point? Yourself in the smallest or the greatest ways in love for another person. You can give that person new life. Now, don't always wait for bells and whistles, and don't wait for heavenly throngs of angels singing you a song. But you know as well as I do, because I certainly hope that you have been the beneficiary of such a love. I know I have. People might have expected. They've saved me. They've helped me be lifted up, sometimes physically, emotionally, psychologically. Friends and people have taken me to the hospital and sat with me, and I don't know, I may not be here if it wasn't for the love and care of others. Love gives life. And I think it's one way that we can, not even subtly, but maturely realize the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was real. Now, I know if I asked you that, you'd all say yes right away. But do we live that? Do we allow that to happen in our lives? Now, these disciples, they were shaking in their sandals. I mean, that had to be freaky, you know? He's there. My God, they thought he was a ghost. Terrified. Startled. And then I highlighted this verse as well. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Would you like that? I've always wanted that, you know? But it's such a blessing. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. If you have a love for the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is alive and well in you. So please think about this. And it's been a theme of mine really for over 10 years now. Only the beginning, is it not? That we have to receive grace. That's why I bless you. It's not because I'm practically out of breath now. Remember how fast I used to walk by that water? I don't do that anymore, and I'm still recovering. There are pacemakers on this side, and when I go like this, my body thinks I'm running. So I'm not doing it all 7 weeks. You want holy water? Help yourself. But I'll do it again at Pentecost, if not before, because I want you in the water of the Spirit. Now, if you'd allow, I'll take a minute. It's been a couple of months ago, but I think you might remember I mentioned the death of Monsignor Dan Trapp. And Monsignor Trapp taught at the seminary most of his priesthood. He was a pastor of 5 parishes. And his funeral was at the cathedral. And that very unusual. He had 5 parishes. Why didn't they just pick one of those? But that cathedral was packed. I've never seen that. Never in 40 years. And I was taken in the early 50s when Cardinal Mooney died. And I wasn't any taller than I was about him now. I think I was 4. And it wasn't even packed then. I've heard a couple people say, well, he was a saint. Yesterday I was at the cathedral for the funeral of Bishop Tom Gumbleton. Monsignor Trapp, I believe, is 66. Bishop Gummel squared. He didn't seek attention. Guided by a group of protesters at nuclear plants with nuclear bombs and that, it really became a beginning, and it really was a call. Nobody would choose that, especially a demure man like a Tom Gumbleton. But it was a call. Tried to negotiate their freedom, and eventually they were freed. And for many years, the course of his bishopry, he worked with the poor. And he began to love that. Humble and introverted as he was, he didn't want to be recognized or seen. But again, that's why it's a charism. It's a movement to the Spirit. And he did that. He reminds me of Oscar Romero. Not exactly the same. Oscar Romero was not a particularly healthy, integrated person. He was the bishop of a diocese, and his priest didn't like him because he was harsh. He was edge to edge and corner to corner and follow the rules and, by God, do it right and do it right now. He finally had to leave, received the help that he needed, and then at some point he was called to go to, Nicaragua, whatever country he was sent to, and the weight and oppression of the drug cartels and whatnot. And eventually, you know the story, that he fell in love with the poor. Yes. Their minds were open to the Scriptures, and they took seriously that you and I are witnesses to the gospel. I think it's important to hear that, so that we realize it's not just we're coming to Mass and we're feeling good about it and God's with us and, boy, ain't life great. And it is. Praise God, really. But if you and I are not the delivery system of Christ to the world, where are we going? Am I the only one here that's worried about the world these days? Are you praying for the world? Are you praying God's will? You better pray God's will, because I don't think human will is doing too good a job. Don't get yourself in the way. You pray God's will. They've been threatening these acts of Iran, and now last night or overnight, you know, these bombings in Israel now. You see, the whole world can destabilize. I don't say that to frighten you. I say that to alert and awaken you. I won't give you all the details. It just happened yesterday. There was a young man here, and his grandmother said, well, you know, my son's here, and now, like, he just hasn't made his first communion. You know, it's a long story. He was baptized as an infant in the hospital because he was premature with his twin, and so he is conditionally baptized as an infant. He wasn't speaking yet, of course. And now he's 17, I think he was, and family's, you know, having some problems and separated. But now he wants church. He wants to come to know Jesus. Talked with him after Mass for several minutes. Now, how many 17-year-olds do you know, and why did that happen? Because earlier this past week, he had an experience of God. He didn't know what it was. You see, the Lord was stirring in him, and he began to think to himself, well, am I doing enough? Am I living a right kind of life? And this kind of, at 17. And then he described, he had an experience. He was in his room, and he just, you know, he really literally saw light. And he felt a lifting of whatever weight, or he didn't say sins, but whatever weight was. I said, well, do you read Scripture? Again, his grandmother, oh yeah, he reads Scripture every day. Now he wants the Lord. The Word of God is powerful. But we also need signs and wonders. That was a sign and it was a wonder. Tom Gumbleton and Dan Trapp. They weren't Mother Teresa and they weren't St. Francis Cabrini. I did, by the way, see that movie, worth seeing. Cool movie, hard, but good movie. 2.5 hours worth. Now for my reflection. It's only a page. When was the last time you walked out of a movie before it was over? 2.5 hours. Wow, was that good? Father talks for 18 minutes. Oh my God, you're kidding. I'm not going 2.5 hours. Now, I did the sign and the reality of holy water. Now, this is pretty simple. It's pretty basic. But I want to share with you for a few minutes the value and the importance of the sign of the cross. Again, it's a common thing. And it's so common and so frequently or regularly or irregularly done that it's done half-heartedly. And sometimes I think, my God, was that the sign of the cross or did you have a bug on your face? The sign of the cross is another sign that is both external and internal. It's external because it's something that we see and that we physically do, but it's internal because it conveys grace. Grace is God's love, the self-communication of God's love to imbue us, to fill us, to secure us in the light and the life of God's presence. Now, in the early church, and I don't know how early, I'm going to guess the first century, the sign of the cross was small, and people would just do it as some people still do today. They make the sign of the cross on their forehead. Shortly after that, the sign of the cross became larger and included both the chest and the shoulders. So let's go through that if we can. What is the sign of the cross and what does it mean? Why is it important? All of this is obvious, but sometimes the obvious has to be pointed out. The sign of the cross is a sign of our redemption in the forgiveness of our sins, in the dying and the rising of Jesus. The sign of the cross is a prayer. It's not just something to fill space when we start prayer. The sign of the cross is public. We just began our public gathering with the sign of the cross, as we always do, but it's also private. When you do your morning prayer or any prayer, your prayer before meals, I hope you're still doing that, or even after meals, we make the sign of the cross. In the spirit realm, or spiritually, it serves as a protection and a shield of faith upon the believer so that we can notice the movements and what they mean. The sign of the cross is a covering of grace. It is a profession of faith. All need that. Be aware that the cross bore the weight of your sin and mine, and Jesus carried that heavy cross, literally that cross, I don't know what did it weigh. Had to be at least 50 pounds, might have been 85 or 100. Big old hunk of wood, a vertical and a horizontal beam. That thing was not light physically. It was hard to carry. Wedged in there. And Jesus was nailed to that cross. The cross carried him. Not much of a bed to lie on, but he was no longer carrying the cross. The cross was carrying him. Think about that. It was not only the weight of his own body against that cross held by nails, but it is the weight of your sins and mine and that of the whole world that expresses the movements of the cross, of the sign of the cross. We begin at the top. In the name of the Father. Why at the top? Because the Father is the head of the Trinity. The Father is the beginning, the source, and the principle of all life. I don't know that I like the word principle there. God is the essence of life and love. So we start at the top. In the name of the Father. And then we move, 10, 11 inches from head to heart. What's it symbolize? God is at the head. Christ is the head, God. But then God comes down from head to heart, symbolizing the incarnation of heaven. God begins as source and beginner, giver of all life, and comes down to our hearts in the incarnation of Jesus, remaining fully divine, becoming fully human, to live and dwell in us, closing that gap between heaven and earth. And then we move from with the right hand to the left shoulder In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So the vertical beam of the cross is God coming to earth, raising earth to heaven. And the sign of the horizontal beam is the action of the Holy Spirit, so that we are not only in communion now, connected with God through Christ, but that horizontal beam is our connectedness and our communion with one another. The work and the role of the Spirit is to sanctify, to make holy, to unite us in Christ to the Father, so that not only are we, it's not enough, oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. You know, that old Charlie Brown thing. I love, how does that go? I love mankind. These people I can't stand. We have to love one another. It's like, oh yeah, I love to love people that love me. I would never want to be a Tom Gummelton and have to go do all that radical protesting thing. He got arrested a couple times. But we're living the same life that they lived. So the Father, as we say in our, the Holy Spirit, as we say in our creed, proceeds forth from the Father and the Son. Again, the waters of baptism, signs and symbols, into and within ourselves, now in the Spirit. Now don't forget the end. What's the end? Amen. We conclude, as we do with our prayers, yes, I believe. Let it be done to me, this sign of the cross. It's a prayer all by itself. If you think you don't have time to pray, when you get out of bed in the morning, pay attention to yourself for 3 seconds and to God in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It will protect you for the day. You're making an expression of faith, and you're aligning yourself with the Lord's cross that is your redemption. Now, the sign of the cross is a giving and a receiving. A gift is only a gift, not only when it's given, but it becomes a gift when it is received and accepted and taken in. So that when I, as priest, minister of God in Christ, I bless you, my blessing goes forth, right? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then you receive that, you accept it, and you sign yourself in the sign of the cross. That's a sign. It's an action. But it expresses a giving and a receiving, and it gives grace and gives life. I always like to point that out in light of the sacrament, not all the sacraments, but particularly the sacrament of reconciliation. The sign of the sacrament of reconciliation is the prayer of absolution. That's the action of the forgiveness of sin. But as the priest prays that prayer, he will hold up his hand as if in giving in the hand of Christ, I absolve you from your sins, etc. And then he blesses the person. And when you go to confession, which I hope more than once every 5 years, more often than that, please, then you receive that absolution the priest gives. You receive and make the sign of the cross upon yourself. Simple gesture. Powerful, a sign and a wonder. You're in Christ. Christ is in you. Never again to be separated. For the disciples, Jesus himself was a sign of the cross, because he bore the cross, hung on the cross, and died there. We celebrate now not his dying. We're grateful and honored by it, but now we celebrate his rising, now again and alive. Lastly, the sign of the cross is a commissioning, the final blessing at Mass. And then we say, go forth in the peace of Christ, or similar words, so that we have received Christ in the mystery of the dying and the rising on the cross, and we bring Christ. May Almighty God bless.